Welcome to Federal Insights, sponsored by Tanium. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
Federal departments typically have tens of thousands of employees. That means they've got tens of thousands of mobile devices to manage and secure. Both the devices and the technologies for managing them continuously evolve. For how one big department handles this challenge, I spoke with the Agriculture Department's Deputy Chief Information Security Officer, Ignatius Liberto.
When I think about endpoints, let's just take a step back and kind of understand what we're talking about here. First of all, USDA is an incredibly diverse and worldwide organization, you know, including our contractor teammates. We have, you know, federal employees and we have political appointees that are in excess of 140,000. But when you think about why the USDA exists, specifically under Abraham Lincoln, you know, the People's Department, we exist for the citizens of the United States of America. And so when we think about our interactions, both for the citizens of the USA, as well as our partnerships across the globe, when you think about farming, grain and seeds and everything else, we're talking about millions upon millions of people interacting with our enterprise network. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of devices and servers and firewalls and such internal to our organization that, you know, our entire asset management list is incredibly long, as well as our IP space. That's internal. When I start thinking about the external, I'm talking about everything from food inspectors to forest rangers to scientists, economics, supporting producers, farmers, and ranchers all across the globe, as well as emergency responders like firefighters and animal disease response, and our entire overseas staff, because we are embedded across so many embassies. You know, and all these have their own unique requirements. They have their own unique devices. They have their own unique information technology or operational technology that they interact with. But at the end of the day, all that data does come back and it flows through our enterprise domain, the USDA.gov domain. And as the Deputy Chief Information Security Officer for Cybersecurity Operations, you know, my team, and I'll say this straight up, cybersecurity is a team sport. My team works with so many others across the enterprise to help protect those people, defend that data, and enable the core business functions of the USDA.
Many of your endpoints, as you indicated, if they're, say, operational technology, are Internet of Things. They're not connected with a person per se, but nevertheless, they're, as you say, sending data to the agency, to the central servers and so on.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the IoT. I intentionally avoided that because I knew you'd circle back to the Internet of Things. You know, the wild thing is this. I've got a lot of friends in Tennessee that operate farms, and you can't really drive any tractor that operates on an American farm today without touching the Internet. And it is just so amazing how connected the entire world is. And I'm not even talking about remote vehicles. I'm talking about, you know, vehicles that have a human being in it, but that vehicle is sending data somewhere. It's being collected somewhere and it's being shared ultimately with perhaps our scientists within USDA. So how do we defend this? First of all, it's a partnership between our team, which is the cybersecurity team, and the entire digital infrastructure team and the customer engagement team. Now, our Office of the Chief Information Officer has multiple centers that absolutely touches across the entire globe. And it's fascinating to just be part of it. But to answer your question specifically, we do what we can once that data flows into our network. We have partnerships with the Office of Homeland Security and others, as the National Security Council has identified the food and agriculture critical infrastructure. So what we're doing now is figuring out ways to collaborate, cooperate, and share information with the vendors and with these large industries that support the food and agriculture, and go into discussions on how we're going to work together to defend this critical infrastructure. So this is a nascent capability, but we're moving very rapidly in that direction.
And one of the challenges, I imagine, then, is the multiplicity of data types that come in that you have to analyze, because you can't analyze them if you can't. I mean, you can't protect yourself from them if you can't analyze it. How do you do that?
Oh, again, cybersecurity is a team sport. Okay. So we have got some very good logging capabilities. You know, one of the cool things about working for the US government is that while we are often challenged to be innovative and we're challenged to think outside the box, there's certainly a very specific set of laws and governance that drives what we do. I'm not just talking about industry standards such as the NIST Special Publication 800 series, which gives us so much information for the risk management framework or the cybersecurity framework and things along those lines. I'm talking specific laws and governance such as FedRAMP, such as FISMA, such as the FATARA laws, which are acts of Congress, as well as Department of Homeland Security's Critical Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. So CISA put out a mod, M-21-31, which talks about improving the federal government's investigative and remediation capabilities related to cybersecurity incidents. So what you really need to think when you talk about security is the what if. What if? So how do we get after? So we have a baseline on how we have all this endpoint information and how we log it. Now, we're very fortunate. Technology has moved very fast. I'll give you a perfect example. In the old days, the phrase antivirus software was on every endpoint. Then we kind of migrated from antivirus to just HBSS, host-based security system. We've migrated from that recently to EDR, endpoint detection and response. What's the big difference? Response, the ability for our defense in depth to shut down something that looks like an anomaly. The old days, we had this mindset of allow all, deny my exception. And then if we had a threat signature, we'd load it in there and certainly go hunting for that specific threat signature. Now with technology and the way we've generated our defense in depth for our enterprise network, we're looking for anomalies. I don't think I'm giving away any trade secrets here. I mean, this is information that's been out for a bit. Next generation firewalls, moving certain capabilities to cloud computing, and enabling slowly, but enabling things like artificial intelligence and machine learning has certainly helped generate our defense in depth. But at the end of the day, it's these automated responses, the ability to isolate, contain, and quarantine very rapidly, whether it be a threat signature coming in via email or from one of our many forward-facing websites. It's the ability to understand as soon as possible that something is not normal so we can kick off an investigation. So we have log aggregators where the information is collected, it's tagged, it's categorized, and it allows our team to quickly do searches across many types of data in order to understand what is normal behavior on our network and go hunting for that abnormal or the anomaly on our network.
Right. So each endpoint, whatever its origin or style, generates log data on its activities. But there's also the data it specifically sends in as a result of the activity that it's doing, the reports, the information about the soil, whatever it might be. And that can be hacked and somehow, you know, be used against an organization also, fair to say?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing is no matter how strong your policy is, how strong your compliance is, no matter how well you follow, whether it be a law or a binding operational directive from CISA, never underestimate the malicious cyber actor out there. And that's the importance of a whole of government approach to cybersecurity. We go to weekly meetings with CISA where we hear about what is happening across the U.S. government, and quite honestly, what's happening across Fortune 500 companies as well. And understanding that if a threat actor can manipulate or penetrate a network from a peer of ours, they're certainly going to try it against us. So what are we doing? So we fortunately have access to commercial threat intelligence, as well as information sharing from the United States intelligence community. That comes to us through a variety of sources. And our partnership with internal to USDA with Department of Office of Homeland Security is vitally important. So what we're also doing at this time is we've got some incredibly brilliant people that are building dashboards for us. They're taking our logging capability, they're taking our data aggregate, massive collections, and we're generating dashboards. We're looking at things associated with vulnerabilities, whether it be a known exploited vulnerability or a brand new CVE that's been released by CISA, as well as looking at other threat signatures. And we're building dashboards to increase our situational awareness, to increase our critical thinking on what is an adversary trying to do with the data that we've collected. Are they trying to violate the confidentiality by exfil it? Are they trying to manipulate its integrity by altering it? Or are they perhaps trying to shut down some of our access points to deny us the availability? So the CIA triad, as well as the privacy of this data, because we collect a lot of personal data from our stakeholders. Again, those farmers, those vendors, those people that we partner with on a hourly or daily basis. And at the end of the day, we look at these trends and we try to understand them. We share this information across our enterprise. And then we try to also generate incident response plans that would be relevant to what we're seeing.
And does the external data, say, generated by those that watch the environment and detect trends that might be universal, help you know where to look more carefully because those same trends could be coming to USDA?
Yes, and I would love to say that you know, we are resourced at 100% and we have no issues anywhere. I mean, we're the federal government. We're responsible to budget constraints and restraints as well as you know, our workforce is human beings. All right, so we work together as a team. So what can we do? We develop resiliency through technology. We develop resiliency through developing our workforce to make sure that we don't have those one trick ponies out there that while somebody is very strong in one area, we're training them to be a good partner in another area. And then the integration of the people and the technology through our processes. What is our documented process? What is the playbook? You can't get into a checklist mentality here. You have to critically think. And what I love the most about the USDA team here in CPOC, which is the Cybersecurity and Privacy Operations Center, is that we spend a lot of time thinking. And sometimes you have to think your way out of problems. There is no switch you could pull. There is no phone call you could make. There's no one process you could follow. Every cyber incident is unique, and we're constantly evolving as the threat evolves. And I'm very proud of our agility and our flexibility as we maneuver through a very dangerous environment each and every day.
Ignatius Liberto, Deputy Chief Information Security Officer at the Agriculture Department. We'll return with more of the interview after the short break. I'm Tom Temin.
You wouldn't trust your car's autonomous safety features if they were based on yesterday's commute. So why trust your IT risk management tools when they're powered by stale data? Get ahead of IT risk with autonomous endpoint management from Tanium. A next-gen approach to endpoint management that combines real-time endpoint data with automated insights to quickly manage IT risk so you can focus on your mission. Get a sneak peek at tanium.com/WTOP.
Welcome back to our interview with Ignatius Liberto, Deputy Chief Information Security Officer at the Agriculture Department. I'm Tom Temin. Our topic is user devices and the latest strategies for keeping them secure. And you mentioned artificial intelligence briefly and also the creation of dashboards. And is AI maybe helping to those that are viewing the dashboards to be able to sort? Because a dashboard can be overwhelming also. They can get pretty big and constantly sending alerts. To sort out what operators really need to look at carefully versus what might be routine or what response might be automated?
You know, that's a beautiful question. You know, the generation of false positives, I think, gives us all the weebity-jeebities. I mean, let's just be honest, all right? You can't chase every false positive, and you don't know it's a false positive until you chase it. So we're getting better and better at tuning our sensors. We're getting better and better at understanding what normal behavior on our network looks like, so then when we feel confident when we get an alert, we can chase it. Also, the tippers that come out from the intel community, as well as the information sharing from across the U.S. government, that helps out. All right, so our dashboards build out our visualization of what's happening, but again, it's a numbers game. If your data that's feeding your dashboards is not the most accurate data, then you might be getting those false positives. So we're constantly looking at that. We're constantly trying to understand what are our vulnerabilities, what are our risks, and what strategies, policies, and tactics are we putting in place to mitigate this and at a minimum get the risk down to an acceptable level. I think we're very good at getting residual risk down to an acceptable level. But let's be honest, you cannot be strong everywhere. These are my words. I can remember being in the military. I spent 32 years in the United States Marine Corps. And as a student of military history, there were certain innovations across, you know, the millennia, right? You're talking things like the stirrup, it was a game changer for a man mounted on a horse, gunpowder, the microchip. You know, those were all like revolutions in military affairs. Those were disruptive technologies. And so it was both a good thing and a bad thing. As I look at artificial intelligence, my words, I think it's a disruptive technology. There is so much good we can do with artificial intelligence. But remember, that's really nothing more than somebody writing a script that then generates some type of massive search across these incredibly large data lakes that are now all connected. So we have access to all this data, and then I could generate generative AI. I could generate a report. I could take 50 Excel spreadsheets and I could say, you know, give me the trends and the norms, and it does it in the blink of an eye. I could upload so many reports, whether it be in PDF file or a document, and then say, generate this report. So there's a lot of good that comes out of it. But it's also very disruptive because our adversaries know the ability of artificial intelligence, and you could sit back and come up with threat scenarios on how they could use that in nefarious or malicious ways. So it's an ever increasing race to understand the technology, and we've got some fantastic people in our chief technology office and our AI office that we work with every day. What's amazing is how many normal tools. You just think about our cell phones. Right now, Apple is announcing that their newest operating system has all this built-in AI. I mean, it is part of everyday life. It's not coming, it's here. So how do we understand it? How do we do our best to, I'm not going to say control it, but to build a defensive capability so we understand what is going on? And then lastly, the data. In order to generate an artificial intelligence report, I have to share data. Who am I sharing that data with? How am I sharing it? What is that third-party vendor doing with that data? So there's a lot of questions. Things, again, are moving very fast. It's here. And we are working with so many folks. We're working with the vendors, such as, you know, Microsoft as our operating system, and others out there, so many, many others. We're working with the vendors. We're working with the technology folks. We're working with our own processes. We're looking at the policies. What's the U.S. government policy? CISA has announced that an executive order is supposed to be coming out from the president that specifically talks artificial intelligence. And as soon as that happens, I guarantee you, we will move very fast to be in compliance with that executive order.
And getting back to the practical matter of large numbers of endpoints, especially mobile devices, and again, you've got field inspectors looking at chickens and whatever the case might be, what steps do you take to make sure that those are acting in a secure manner in the first place?
Wow, you know, that's a great question. I'm going to tell you why. Field inspectors, just think about this for a second. I'm out in a field inspecting whatever, crops, grain, animals, talking to farmers, all right? In the old days, the ability to move large amounts of data was next to impossible. But what's changed that? Well, things like 5G, which is prevalent really across, I'd like to say, all of North America and probably most of the world. So the ability to transmit massive amounts of data from remote spaces has allowed, again, it's a good thing, bad thing. It's allowed those field inspectors to be out there with their device and zing all this data across the world. So it's received by their organization going through our defensive mechanisms. But defense comes at a cost. I've heard this more than once. Hey, when I operate on your virtual private network, it's hard. It's a choke pipe. It slows down what I'm used to when I'm in the office. Therefore, is there a workaround? And I'm not going to go into details here. Of course, there's workarounds. I don't like those workarounds. I like you to be on my virtual private network, which is the USDA Enterprise Network, so I could monitor your traffic. Why? Because my job is to protect people, defend data, and enable the core business functions of the USDA. If you're not working through my defense mechanisms, are there other mechanisms out there? Oh, absolutely. You know, we talked about the EDR, the Endpoint Detection and Response. Microsoft has some wonderful capabilities with Defender. I mean, there's, again, defense must be in depth, right? You can't be strong everywhere, but what we do at the enterprise level is generate a very strong defense in depth. When we have our good employees, our great teammates, and our partners out in the field, that defense in depth does cause some connection issues that we deal with on a case-by-case basis. But it gets even more challenging when we're dealing with partners that are international partners. Who's their internet service provider? Who are they tapping into? That is another unknown out there, and also a area of concern. So we have policy out there that we try our very, very best to be consistent with.
All right. And what's your, I guess, endpoint management strategy then overall? Because do you restrict operating systems? Do you restrict brands of devices? Or how do you keep this rational, I guess you might say?
You know, when you have 140,000 employees, some people like to use Apple, some people like to use Chromebook, some people like to use Microsoft Office. You know, there's many different operating systems out there. And I'm just talking about things that ride over IT, things that touch the internet, that ride over internet protocol. So absolutely. So with so many employees across our departments, so many people are very comfortable with a specific type of device or operating system. And we want to be a willing partner, and we don't want to say no. In fact, the goal is to provide security while being a great partner and telling people, yes, you can do this. Yes, you can go to this. You could go out in the field with your device that you're comfortable with that has your application on it, so you can send data back to continue your core business function. Remember, USDA, if we can't share information, if we can't get the information from the field to the point of need, then we're spending a lot of money for nothing. So how do we allow people to do their core business function? Number one, we have to support them and we have to be innovative. You know, you keep talking about the endpoints. Every endpoint has a different type of capability. For example, there are some devices, and I really don't want to mention the vendor names, but there are some devices that when you turn them on, it receives a fresh load. You could do your work on the application. You could transmit that data. And then when you turn off the device, it literally swipes everything. So if anything ever got on it, it's gone and you receive a fresh load the next time you power it up. That's a good thing. But where are those logs going? You know, that's one of the things we constantly have to be vigilant of. Secondly, we have to prioritize what we're doing. How important is this mission? And oftentimes we'll partner with the missionaries and say, is this vitally important to your core business function? If they say yes, then we will absolutely figure out how we're going to, you know, come up with an implementation plan that we could monitor, manage, and then assess and maybe even audit those logs. And lastly, I want to talk about my security operation team, the SOC. You know, we have the ability to rapidly understand the changing IT world, and it is changing. You know, IP spaces are constantly being generated and being expanded. And how do we understand that capability? How do we identify those gaps? How do we partner with that and then lay over known exploitation that adversaries have done to make sure that we're understanding the requirement, understanding solutioning, and then partnering with the architecture and the infrastructure team to make sure that the data flows, but it's flowing through filters, through sensors, through a defense in depth that helps us understand what is going on. What are the inputs? What are the outputs?
Ignatius Liberto, Deputy Chief Information Security Officer at the Agriculture Department. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights, sponsored by Tanium on Federal News Network.